So good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're on this present moment. This is Eric Castillo here from the Infinite Talks podcast. And today we have a beautiful, beautiful episode with Mr. Navi L, straight from Atlanta, a creative genius that I've been following for a while off of TikTok. I think I've been looking at TikTok because it really feeds my algorithm. It feeds me the people that I'm interested in. And it fed me Mr. Naviel, bro, like a few months ago, and we've been kicking it for a while, like trying to like get each other on the podcast. And I was like, man, Naviel is today. There's no stopping it, bro. And so
yeah,
he reached out to me, and I'm really excited to have him on because he is you said you are a
sound scientist.
And yeah. I was telling him that I have a somewhat of a background in engineering, audio engineering. Back in the days, back in 2000, bro, wild days. So yeah. I was like, man, I need to bring this guy on. He's going to have a good feedback to give us. His story, I'm pretty sure, is interesting. And we're outside in my outside studio today, you know?
Yeah, that's dope.
And Navi, I see you're in your studio. That's where you make all the magic happen.
Yeah.
All the videos that you make on TikTok going viral and then getting good interaction. Your audience has grown ever since I started following you.
Nah, I appreciate
I noticed
that
it's grown, so... Welcome, Mr. Navi L, in the building. What's up, brother?
Man, I appreciate it. I appreciate it so much, man. I'm happy. I'm excited, man. I can't wait to chop it up. You know what I'm saying? And really, I'm glad we actually did it. You know what I'm saying? Set it up. All right, this is the time. Boom. And it's cool, man. I'm excited. Appreciate
yeah,
you,
man.
Man.
I'm like I've said, like you can tell that you are a hardcore creative person because if you can, I follow you, right? And I see a lot of your posts. And you have like different setups, right? In your studio right there. You can tell you have computers, you have all kinds of NPCs, you have and not NPCs like the guys acting wild in the corner, not those guys. You got the real NPCs where you're making samples, you teach videos on how to make a sample and like cut it down. And dude, that's very interesting to me, bro. And
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so what kind of motivated you, bro, to get into this route of like making music and then like the whole anime vibe you throw in there, bro, like the 80s vibe, like that's very creative, man. How did you get into all this?
I would say really my childhood, you know what I'm saying? Really my childhood. One, my dad is a hardcore hip hop, like that's just he just love hip hop, like breaking down Wu-Tang lyrics. I'm like 7 years old, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you know what he mean by this? And I'm like, yo, I'm like 7 years old. Like, what are you talking about, pops? Like, why are you trying? But it all added up, you know what I'm saying? It's like one of them things that it hits you later. And with that, I just like that feeling of just real hip hop. I just wanted to get into it my own way. I was engulfed in it. You know, my granddad, he play a lot of jazz and, you know, which is my dad's dad. So musical background, but just growing up, not thinking about it too much. Just, you know, I watched Dragon Ball Z growing up, but I also like hear Wu-Tang on, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm playing the game all day. I'm playing Tekken, you know, I'm playing PlayStation 1. I'm playing all these things. So it's really just to create a safe space for me. You know, it's like therapeutic to create the music that reflects my upbringing, if that makes sense.
Bro, you said a lot of freaking gems there. So your dad, he's probably like around my age. I'm 45. So your dad must
he
be
like
around
40,
that same age.
47, 40, 47. So,
because like we saw when the Wu-Tang became Wu-Tang, you know, like, I like telling the story because the first time I saw Wu-Tang on a video, we used to watch MTV Raps. You can probably ask your daddy. He was down with that, right? And I think Fat Five Freddy had him on, and it was a bunch of dudes with like the black ski mask and the hoodies, like in a checkered, you know, environment, like in a studio, and you don't know who was who, but they can all rap. They can all rap, bro. And then I think the 36 Chambers song came out, or no, Protect Your Neck came out, and the Method Man song, bro, back to back. And I didn't know that there was the same crew. When Method Man came out with a song, like, I didn't know it was from the same album. So we saw the whole, like, change of hip-hop because they came in with some grimy hip-hop, you know, vibe. And then with the martial arts background. So that's kind of like you kind of I can hear that influence in your in the beats that you make because you have a lot of the like you still use something similar, not exactly the same because obviously you have your own originality, but you include like the anime vibe into it. So it's like
That's
it's a similar like attribute that you kind of carry over, man. So that's amazing, bro. I'm pretty sure your dad and you can go on for days talking about hip hop and all that stuff,
Yeah,
right?
that's all I that's he got a thing called a library and it's nothing but CDs and it has all the original. He still has the purple tape, like the actual
Yo,
purple tape. Like he
had
kept
that
all
tape,
that.
bro.
That's a dope tape. But yeah, I say it helped my music a lot, you know, especially in this day and age of where everybody doing like a lot of crazy things and it's
Yeah.
like, you know, you calling it hip hop, but it's like you don't know where hip hop came from, you know,
Exactly.
and I think that's important for a lot of people to know, like the origins of hip hop so you can carry hip hop, you know. And I think that's another thing that motivate me within music to keep the torch in my own way, you know.
And being creative, right? Because if you look at hip hop in the 80s, before it became gangster rap, before it became even before the Low End Theory vibe, right? Because the jazz, like you said, your grandpa was into the jazz. That was a lot of resonating of the hip hop from back in the day. They were using what inspired the 50s, 60s, and 70s into the 80s to make the hip hop, right? And so you could tell like the hip hop artists from that era were very creative from what they had felt and raised with, you know? And I think when the agenda started to get very corporate, we started seeing a lot of push from the money. Like, where the money's at, that's what we're gonna produce, and that's where we're gonna head the artist from. That's why we have like, I mean, it's just I don't even know what to call it anymore. Like, there's a lot of hip hop that's, like you said, is not really hip hop. Like, there's kids they're trying to rap, but they're emulating what they heard instead of being original. And I like what you're doing because you're like, dude, nobody's doing what you're doing. And that's what hip hop was back in the days. You know, Q-Tip was doing his thing, you know, DJ Premier was doing his thing. Everybody sounded different. Nobody sounded the same, bro. Houston was doing his thing, like H-Town, you know, you had Scarface and the Ghetto Boys. And even when Bone Thugs and Harmony came out, like it was different. So all of these different eras of hip hop had original rappers, original hip hop. And we kind of been lacking a little bit on that in the last 15, 20 years. I mean, I want to, I don't know. I really kept out of hip hop for real, right?
It's definitely like that. I mean, it's people that's doing it's a people that's pushing for the culture, but it's a mass majority of people that's doing whatever to make the quick dollar. You know what I'm saying? And it shows in the music because a lot of people don't even know the history of hip hop. And I feel like that separates a lot of different people. Like, why not go back and listen to the people that actually paved the way for what we're doing today? It only makes you better and it gives you, it's your roots, you know, it's the roots of what the creativity is. And once you do that, you can always be creative. Some people don't even listen, but for me personally, my life personally, I feel like as an artist, you need to learn from the greats. You know, you need to learn. I love Tribe because in the midst of all the rugged hip hop, I would listen to Tribe and then I was like, yo, I like this vibe because it's like, it's
It's
just smooth.
different.
It's
It's
smooth.
smooth, man.
It's jazz.
I got my daughter into it like when she was younger. She's 16 now. And now like me and her can drive and chill and we can listen to the Tribe Called Quest and it's a different vibe. Like, and she doesn't really like all the new, you know, rap. I mean, she likes Cardi, you know, I'm not gonna lie, she likes Cardi. But because that's their era of hip hop. And that is kind of original. If I listen to it, like, dude, that is kind of original. Like, it doesn't sound like anything I ever heard before.
It's about being original. Like, it's nothing like, because I hear stuff that's not necessarily hip hop in the sense it might be quote unquote this other genre or whatever. And then it's like, I can respect it and I can enjoy it because it's original. You
Correct.
know, I can enjoy it. But, you know, I think it's really about knowing yourself as an artist, being true to yourself. You
True to
know, that
yourself.
being true to yourself. I know who I am. You know,
Man.
this is what I love to do. So I'm a, you know, that's.
So who's your like top five or top three producers that you kind of like, okay, these are the guys that they're my diehards. Like, that's what I'm going to go to when I need to listen to something that like brings me back to my balanced state of mind or whatever.
Dang, that's a good question. I mean, of course, Dilla. I mean,
Dilla.
yeah, he got to be at the, and then it would have to be, if I go Dilla, then it had to be Madlib, and then it had to the third would have to be, not in no order,
Yeah, correct, correct.
but Lord Finesse,
Oh, dude, nobody knows about Lord Finesse.
Lord Finesse,
Nobody.
his beats is really like it keeps me rooted. Like, all right, like this is that boom bap, like that.
Old school boom
Like,
bap.
yeah, like, yeah.
And he was his beats were very hard, you know, like boom
Yeah.
bap hard.
Yeah,
And
like.
I to be honest, the other two, Madlib and J Dilla, I slept on those guys, bro, for real. Like it was a little bit right before I kind of like stopped like really digging the whole new wave of hip hop. So
Yeah.
I kind of I for I didn't I thought it was done, like for me, like, oh man. So when I found out about Dilla, he was already dead, bro. I was like, no way. I was like, that's Dilla? Yeah, bro. Like, so I heard all these beats. Like, there was a lot of beats that he had produced that I knew that were good, but I didn't know who was the producer. So when I've heard about him, my homie Brian, he's also from Atlanta. He's like, bro, that's Dilla. Like, he gave me a whole set of CDs to listen to all of his tracks. And he's like, bro, listen to Dilla, man. You're gonna go crazy. And I listened to Dilla for like a whole year in my car when I had a CD player. And I was just like jamming Dilla beats, bro. And
That's fire.
Madlib also, I slept on him because, like I said, that's when MF Doom came up. And he at Madlib and MF Doom collaborated, right? In a lot of their music. I always thought it was the same dude, to be honest. And so when I heard that music, I was like, dude, this is badass, bro. Like, I can't stop listening to it. So even my kids are into MF Doom and Madlib and all that stuff because I listen to that a lot now. And you know, post his death in 2020, but like, dude,
I mean,
amazing.
they show you what it means to just be in your own lane and do you. Like
Bro,
that's it.
cause he, even MF Doom, bro, his voice is not like the best voice, but he has the dopest lyrics. Like, his rhyme scheme is so intricate that you like need to listen to it like multiple times to even get one verse. Cause he has so many double entendres and quadruple entendres. I don't even know, bro. Like, MF Doom was crazy, bro. R.I.P. to the Doom, man. He was amazing,
R.I.P.
man.
Doom. Yeah, he's definitely, yeah. Doom was a dope producer too. He actually
He
got a
made
lot
beats as
of,
well.
yeah, he got
Yeah.
a thing called Special Herbs. You should check it out. It's
Special
all,
herbs,
yeah,
it's
it's
just
just
beats.
a series of volume one through whatever, and he just, it's all Doom beats.
Dude, you just put me on. Guys, Special Herbs by MF Doom. If you haven't heard it, go cop
Definitely
that
dope.
shit. Man, so you've been in a like inspired by really good you know, producers, hip hop groups. And then your dad and your grandpa having like musical roots. So I'm pretty sure that's why your manifestation of all that you have in front of you, it's like a safe zone, like you said, like in a creative zone. And how deep do you go when you go into this creative zone? Like, you just keep on going deeper and deeper into the creative process?
So with music, in general, I wanted to learn how to make it better, and I kind of, I really studied it in school. School helped me out to get to a professional level where I can feel confident and with what I'm doing. But the deeper I go into it, just being fascinated by the phenomenon of sound, that we can hear it but we can't see it. What does it do? Like, it make us feel a certain way, it make people think differently, not only that, I can make it sound cold, I can make the sound warm, like, different mixing techniques, and then the way you sample things, time stretching, is all these things kind of, when you really look at the beauty of it, in a sense, it kind of it broadens your like horizon of your like what you can do musically, like, because you're always learning from different aspects, and I feel like that alone, just being engulfed in what you do and learning about it, it creates, more creativity. I mean, you just can't never stop learning. There's always something new that I'm learning. I read manuals at night, just just to find out something to do. I'm like, yo, this person made the machine. He wrote a book about it. Let me read it. Let me find something out that I can do that I never did, you know. I think that helps out a lot, you know.
So you really study the intricate parts of the recording process. And I think a lot of people miss out on that. They just want to go straight to the fire and make the beat and let's record. And they forget about the meticulous thought planning into like making an actual sound, like you're saying. So, dude, that's fucking amazing. So
I
where did you go to
appreciate it.
school to study that, bro?
So Berklee School of Music, if you ever heard of that, Berklee School of Music,
No, I never heard of that, but let me, I'll look it up.
it's a the top school for like music, like just studying. I actually was reading a manual, and that's how I found out about that school. I was reading a manual, but they changed my whole perspective on like recording, like taking it professional, you know. My mom actually put me in a direction of that. She was just like, 'cause I believed in like learning on my own. I was real like I'm gonna learn on my own. I don't need nobody. Like I'm just gonna do what I need to do, and I just figure it out. And then she worded it some type of way, but she was basically just saying like I can never repeat it how she said it, but I remember clicking it to my head like, okay, I need to figure this out. She was like, but how you gonna be in these big rooms basically if you don't understand the language and understand what kind of papers and, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Oof.
what kind of things you need? And I was like, you're right. I was like,
I
and it opened
think
my world.
she saw the potential, but she knew that you really needed to own it. Because if you're in those rooms, she knows like I don't want him to be like, oh fuck that, I'm gonna get out of this room, you know, because I don't know my shit.
That set me up for a lot because it is a certain language that you have to speak in different situations. You know, 'cause when you're dealing with sound design, you might be talking to gaming developers, so you got to understand to have that type of conversation. Then if you're dealing with business as an independent artist, understanding business, you have to understand what's going to really move the needle and what the industry is doing to, you know, get you in that spot where you call yourself an independent artist, you know. Now if you're producing, then you have to understand that there's different languages when it comes to chopping and sample. This machine might call it zones, but this other machine might call it phrases. You know, it's like conversations. So that's how I look at it, you know.
That's beautiful, man. Like, so how long, where is the school, Berkeley? Is it here in the, I mean, obviously in the States, but is it in.
It's in Boston. So they got more now. They got Boston, they got Spain, they got
Oh shit, so they have one in like in Europe.
Yeah, they got one in Europe. Yeah, that's actually a dope spot. So, and then they got online. You can do online, New York, Boston, and Spain. And then yeah, they only got four campuses. Four
Wow. So
campuses.
where did you go? New York or
Boston.
Boston? Oh
Yeah,
yeah, Boston.
Boston. Yeah, Boston. And then it was expensive, so I just did a little bit of like online to finish it up because it was like it's expensive.
Oh
It's
man,
like
I can imagine. I can imagine, man.
Like 60,000 and
Oof.
some crazy stuff. But the
But
information, and it helped me get good jobs and, you know, put me in a position where now I can kind of work for myself in a sense where I can do music related things and still come home and be able to make music, you know.
that's
So,
beautiful because you're doing what you love, you know, and getting paid for it, you know. And it's good because like sometimes a lot of us, and I want to say like people who want to jump into the music game, they just want to go straight from like I'm making beats in my room to like I'm recording with the Pharrells and the Drakes and Timbaland. And no, bro, it takes a lot of work, a lot of dedication. You really need to know. And yeah, like even Scott Storch, what's his name? Scott Scorch, whatever his name.
Scott Storch.
Storch, that guy,
Torch.
like Storch, Torch, Torch. I don't even know this rap right now. Man. Cork. Pork.
Hey, baby.
I'm dropping signs. All right, man. It's a freestyle. That's it.
Exclusive, exclusive.
Exclusive, exclusive. You get four bars. That's it. Yeah, like even all of these producers, bro. Like you might see them, like they're over here already, high and above, you know, and doing all these beautiful songs and stuff. But they had to learn. Either they learned the hard way, or they learned from somebody like an apprentice type of thing, where like they learned some things. And sometimes you can get lucky and be like, oh, but like you, I produce this hot track and boom, now you're like TikTok viral, and then all of a sudden you become this producer for somebody. But then again, when you enter those rooms with the engineers and like, hey, you know how to drop this over there?
It's different tiers. It's different tiers. It's all based on what you want, because that's not for everybody. In terms of, you can be just a producer and lock in with producing, but you're gonna have to meet an engineer regardless for him to make your music sound good.
Sound good.
Or you can be the dope artist, but you're still gonna have to have somebody to handle your publishing, your business. So that's what independent artists mean. It means that you have to be independent of all of them facets and know how to be in each room or understand the language of each, category in a sense. So I think it just depends on what you want. For me personally, I just genuinely love everything about music. So, I don't care about learning about the business, because I can be creative in how I brand myself. I can learn this tool and be like, okay, this is how they're doing with marketing and business. Okay, let me use that for myself. Let me understand that and maneuver and so forth and so forth.
Beautiful, man. What was your first piece of like the equipment that you got? They were like, man, I can't wait to learn this. What was it?
Oh man, it's actually in my closet now, but it would have to be.
Oh, you don't need that anymore.
I've been trying to get it fixed, man. It actually broke on me, man.
What
But
was it? What
that
was it?
it was a SP404SX. It was the first like actual drum machine that I actually, because I was doing everything on a computer. And I was like, man, this is cool, but
It's not,
I
it
want to
doesn't
touch
feel
some,
right.
yeah, I want to touch some buttons and turn something. And but that was my first machine that I actually took time to learn. And I think that's what, after that I ended up buying like way more machines, just off some, just that's how it is. Musicians, you make excuse for buying a
Buy
machine.
more. To buy more, bro. Like, I'm already tired of this one. I need a new one.
Yeah, I need a new
And
one.
then, but then, like, you get like my first actual piece of equipment. I first got a computer. My mom got it, and then I remember I went to Best Buy and I was looking for anything to make music, and I found this software called Acid Loops, which I think later on became Fruity Loops or something like that. I don't know, but it was acid for sure. And not the LSD type, right? I get home and like, Mom, I'm on acid.
I got some acid loops. What are
I
you
got
talking
some
about?
acid. Go to jail.
Don't
I
be out there buying no acid loops.
thought you're in Best Buy buying music stuff. Now you're a drug dealer in the
Now
border.
you met a rep that was selling acid. No,
Yeah, Mom. Let me play it for you.
oh man.
No, man. So I bought that software. I installed it, and I felt like you. I was making beats, but it was on the it was badass though,
No, that's
because you would just drag and the loop was there on point, quantized, and all that stuff. You didn't have to worry about timing and everything.
That's
Everything fit
dope.
perfectly. It was so easy to
Yeah.
make beats,
Nah, that's
and
fire.
I made a few beats like that, and then that following year, I was like, you know what, I'm going to Houston. I want to make beats over there because they had audio engineering school and Houston Community College, bro. Affordable. Guys, if y'all want to get on, if you don't want to spend 60 G's in Berkeley and you want to go somewhere affordable, go to Houston, Texas. They have the audio engineering school in
That's
Houston
dope.
Community College. I think I was paying like $2,000 a semester. It was amazing, bro. I learned from one of the dudes who worked with the Ghetto Boys. He was our instructor. Our professor, his name is Brent Champagne. Shout out to Miss Champagne. Mr. Champagne he wasn't cool with me. He didn't like me because I was a loud mouth. But every time he would make a beat or a song, and I would kind of crack up like, he'd get mad at me.
Hey. Nah, that's funny. That's pretty dope though. A community. That's really dope, actually.
That's awesome, bro. Like you get real life experience with an actual studio. And connecting this is before digital came through. Actually, digital was barely coming through back in 2000. Like they were starting to develop all these new computers with all the abilities to a digital recording. But we were recording analog, so we had
That's
to learn.
important.
we learned the old school way, connecting like from machine to machine with the big old three quarter inch cords, and bah, bah, the patch bay was over here, the all the you know what I'm talking about,
Now,
right?
I know
Like,
what you're talking about. That's important because
it
I
is.
was the opposite. So when I seen a real studio, I was like, man, I'm plug up just in the wrong socket and I'm gonna blow some stuff up. It's really dope because analog is,
Different sound.
it's a different sound. It's really different sound. It makes your music sound more heavier than digital, because digital is
Right.
really thin, in my opinion. They got better with like emulators and stuff over the years, but there's nothing like analog gear, in my opinion.
For
Still.
real, man. Yeah, so I mean, all these different instruments that I started learning to record with, excuse me, in Houston. So now, like, the game started getting really technical, and I stayed with it, bro. I was in the studio for hours. I could be there all day, and I was, cause I was, I mean, I was single, I lived in my own apartment. I didn't have kids back then, I had a little job that was paying some of my bills, but not like nothing crazy where like I had to get off of work, And I'd be in the studio like pretty much all day from eight to eight, and then come back. And so I
That's dope.
learned all the little techniques that
That's nice.
my professor was like, "How do you know all this shit, Eric?" And I was like, "'Cause I live here practically."
That's actually dope. That's
Yeah.
dope. That's really dope. That's an experience. I feel like that experience alone can, man, that could translate, especially in today's, because digital is just the same thing as that. It's just now it's just limitless. You can just
Yeah,
do
limitless,
it at,
bro.
as long as you got like memory on
Bro.
your computer.
Shit, on your phone.
Yeah, on your phone. Yeah.
You can go
Yeah.
platinum on your phone, bro, if you're
Yeah.
smart.
Yeah.
If
Band
you
lab.
really, yeah. Like, I know that on the phone, bro. Even when the iPad came around and I saw GarageBand, I was like, no way, bro. If I had this back in 2000, I would have made some crazy beats.
Nah, that's pretty crazy to think about that. You could just record off your phone if you think about it. Like that's technology is moving. Now you got
Yeah.
AI, but that's another story to
And
look
that's
at.
another man, that's another story, bro. AI. Nah, but that AI cannot be as creative as we can, because we're original. It might make something cool and vibey, but it's not gonna make the original. Even the little mistakes that we make on an actual track, they're actually cool if you think about it. If you're a real fan, you'd be like, that's the mistake that I like the most. You know what I mean?
Nah, for real. That's the human feel. The human
The
is
human
the
feel.
human feel.
I mean, you just go back to the Wu-Tang when they dropped 36 Chambers. It sounded like they recorded in the closet of Ghostface Killer's house. I don't know. Somebody's house. You can hear people in the background and shit, like.
It's exactly. You appreciate. I did. I do. I'm gonna say this one little snippet. I seen where somebody, I don't know, I think I might have been scrolling, but they said now where you could take an AI and say, I'd be listening to jazz, but say if I say, hey AI, create me this futuristic jazz thing, I can make them play it and I can sample that and I have sample free. That's
You just put a lot of people on game.
that's a little gem right there. I was
That is a gem, guys. That is a gem. If you
that's
all
future.
produce music, you just got put on with some AI sampling. Free samples.
Free samples for the rest of your life.
I mean, because, like, how do they find out when you use somebody's sample, bro? That's crazy, right? It could
It's
be a little tiny sound, and that's for my song. How did you know, motherfucker? How did you know? I was trying to sneak it in there. You found out. Now I gotta pay you fines for the rest of my life.
Man, they'll get you, especially they ain't making no, the artist not making no money. They'll get their cut. They'll get your cut
Yeah, that's
quick.
my song, bro. Y'all pay me. That happened to somebody recently. I forgot who it was, but some artist, bro, he came out on TikTok recently that he used a sample from somebody, didn't clear it, and now he owes about, I think he made a G a million point 1.6 million, and now he owes like almost all the money back. He has to pay it off, publishing and all that other stuff, because he didn't clear. I mean, he obviously he wasn't well versed like you said, with the
Yeah.
business side of it, you know, and
Yeah,
you need
that's.
to know all angles if you're gonna really drop some music and make money out of it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. That sampling in general, it's a lot that goes into sampling, because one, and this is just me and me being a peer, some people don't really chop their samples up. That's why you appreciate Dilla, because he got into something called micro chopping. You can tell the essence of what he's playing, but you know, if somebody was to find a record, you'd be like, oh snap. But the way that he reconfigured it and played it out, it's almost hard to find what he sampled, especially. And then another thing, digging in the crates, like,
DITC.
yeah,
Are you talking
got
about
it.
DITC?
No,
Diamond D? No? Oh,
no. I'm talking
okay.
about actually digging in the crates,
Digging in the
like
crates. Yeah, you
that.
like doing that though, right? You like doing
Yeah,
that?
go to the record store. You know, I
Yeah,
got
I
some
see
records
you.
there. So, but I feel like with that, you find new music that never been discovered. So, with that, like they say, like almost 50% or 70% of music is not accounted digitally. So that means like there's more music that's out in the
Out
world
there.
than it is on it than it is
No
on the
way,
internet.
dude. That's crazy. That's a wild number. Wow. So if you find like a record on a, you know, as you're digging in the crates, you might find a record that nobody knows about and maybe sample it and might not even get caught.
To my extent, that's just my personal opinion, because you got to think about it. We independent artists now. Who's to say that it wasn't independent artists back then releasing
Correct.
on vinyl?
Correct. I mean, I'm pretty sure that happened a long time too. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
So
know,
you.
let's publish let's record 40, I mean, let's record 1,000 vinyls and just drop them and sell them. And if you didn't go through the traditional, you know, legal way, then it's free game for anybody who gets it, pretty much.
And you know, even with cassettes, you got some
Cool.
people that just play music on a, you know, four track recorder. And
I did that.
yeah,
I still have my 4-track recorder, bro,
for
in my
real,
house. Yeah, I
that's
still have it.
fire. That's I want to get one now. That's how that, like,
Bro,
I
I'll
want
sell
to
it
get
to you. I'll sell it
for
to
real.
you.
All right, that's which one is it?
Nah.
You know,
Dude,
like
it's chock full, bro. It's whack. It's not
for.
even bad. It's a low budget one, but it was I said chock full over here in Texas. In South Texas, we
Okay.
say chock full. It means like
It's
whack.
chop.
It's whack.
Okay.
It's like chock full, bro. It's whack, bro. You learned a new word today, bro. Hey man,
I'm gonna
I'm
start
a
saying it.
chock full. Hey, we're gonna wrap it up real quick and then we're gonna come back into the link, like I said earlier, and we're gonna
Okay.
do drop part two. All
I
right.
bet. All right, cool.